America Radio Network News, I'm Darren Copeland. Al-Qaeda operatives could be in Israel recruiting Palestinians to carry out attacks on Jews. That accusation comes from Israeli officials in a report delivered to the UN Security Council today. The report claims Osama bin Laden's operatives are carrying foreign passports and have made attempts to enter Israel several times since 2001. But the report says Israelis have stopped their attempts and have since stepped up security along the borders. The UN report also accuses the terrorist organization of handing out propaganda in Palestinian areas, including leaflets designed to incite jihad or a holy war. Israeli officials also claim to have captured and tried Palestinians who were recruited by Al-Qaeda abroad. The White House is condemning the car bombing in Jakarta, Indonesia, that's killed more than a dozen people. More than 100 others were injured in the huge explosion. White House spokesman Scott McClellan is with the president in Crawford, Texas.
This is a deplorable attack on innocent civilians, and our thoughts and prayers are with the victims and with their families.
The blast occurred in the JW Marriott Hotel, part of an American hotel chain. Jakarta is the capital of Indonesia, the world's most populous Muslim country. A deadly terrorist blast shook Bali last October. President Bush continues to monitor the situation in Liberia and could send in peacekeeping troops at any time. That's the word from the Pentagon. Liberia has been torn apart by more than a dozen years of civil war. President Bush doesn't want to send troops into Liberia until embattled President Charles Taylor exits. Taylor has said he will leave, but he continues to linger in Liberia. Meanwhile, General Richard Myers, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, denied that the U.S. military is spread too thin. During a Pentagon news briefing, Myers said the military has sufficient force to do what is required in the world today.
If you're losing your hair, then I have great news for you. Now you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the world's most advanced hair regrowth system that will reverse baldness, fill in embarrassing bald spots, and regrow up to twice as much new hair, guaranteed. The secret of Hair Advantage lies in a recent medical discovery that showed 95% of all hair loss was due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage stops DHT from attacking your hair follicle as it starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. Hair Advantage contains a patented active ingredient that was approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half experiencing dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on virtually everyone. Call toll-free 1-800-213-4495. That's 1-800-213-4495. 1-800-213-4495.
Japan appears ready to accept tougher new mad cow safety standards on the U.S. exports of beef. Tokyo officials had issued a September 1st deadline for packing plants to certify their meat as all-American. The demand was made after a single case of mad cow disease was discovered in Canada back in May. That led Japan to insist U.S. beef be certified as free of Canadian product. A Japanese technical team is scheduled to visit meatpacking plants in Minneapolis this week. Japan is the largest foreign buyer of American beef. As for Canada, an unidentified USDA official says it could be some time before Washington eases the ban on imports of Canadian beef into the U.S.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello. Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Food portions are growing, and so is the number of overweight Americans. Doctors at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester say studies have demonstrated that the average meal served either at home or at a restaurant has gotten gradually bigger over the past 20 years. They admit it's easy for people to get a bit confused about how much is the right amount to eat anymore, so the doctors have put together a short list to help estimate serving sizes that are appropriate. For example, a medium apple or orange is tennis ball sized, while an average bagel is the size of a hockey puck. A cup of fruit is the size of a baseball. Meat eaters should think of carbs, as 3 ounces equates to about a deck. A jump in bond yield sent stocks down. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 150 points and finished at 90.36. The S&P 500 lost 17 points to 9.65. The NASDAQ dipped 41 points to finish at 16.74. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Sex and the Single Driver. No, it's not the latest XXX film or a video on golf swings. And you'll never guess its producer, director. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark.
Sex and the Single Driver is a favorite feature of insurance companies. And if you're a middle-aged, married female, you're the star of this show. Yes, statistics show younger drivers are involved in more fatalities than mature adults. And singles have less safe driving records than those in wedding bliss. And here's the clincher, gentlemen. Males are deadlier drivers than females. In fact, a National Safety Council survey found fatal accident rates were 63% higher for men. So ladies, start your engines and enjoy the spotlight. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
It's time we'll say bye to say bye.
Good evening, truth seekers. Thank you for joining us. Mike Malloy here. Welcome to the program, produced, as always, by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Phone number is 800-TALK-YES. 800-825-5937. You can email, too, if you like, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. We have some sound bites from Donald Rumsfeld at his press briefing today that I think pretty clearly establish his insanity. You hear me talk about these people are crazy, these people are killers, these people are this, these people are that, day in and day out. And yeah, that's just my opinion. But when we play these sound bites for you tonight of Donald Rumsfeld, perhaps you will come to the conclusion, independent of anything that I might suggest on this program. There is a story today. Clint sent me this information. Clint from Dearborn. There's a story today on whatreallyhappened.com, which is a pretty good website. I have found it to be fairly... accurate in its reporting of certain events, debunking other events. But there's a report on whatreallyhappened.com regarding the bombing of that Marriott Hotel in Jakarta, Indonesia today. I don't know what the death toll is. I believe it's in the double figures. And don't know what the body count, wounded, injured, because I haven't been following the story other than to see it flashed on the screen a couple of times when I have cruised through some of the news channels today. But the story is from whatreallyhappened.com, and it's a story being carried by Sky News. That's the British outfit owned by Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox News Channel. The story is the U.S. Embassy canceled the booking that it had at that Marriott Hotel 4 hours before the booking was to occur. The story is telling how the U.S. Embassy canceled a booking at the Marriott Hotel just 4.5 hours before the bombing. And some folks are wondering about the coincidence of that, or the serendipity, or could it be something more sinister? I don't think there's any doubt Most of us over the age of 40 understand that our intelligence agencies will stop at nothing to create chaos when they feel like creating chaos, or create a diversionary tactic, or let a foreign leader know that we are in his backyard. Now, by that I mean U.S. spooks will assassinate, bomb, blow up, destroy, napalm, otherwise deliver death and destruction anytime and anywhere our particular leader wants it done. You know it. I know it. It's a fact. So let's not pretend we're a Christian nation and we all love little baby Jesus and we're all going to heaven because we live such wonderful lives. We are the chief exporters of weaponry on this country, and we are second probably only to Saudi Arabia. It's a toss-up of whether the Saudis or the U.S. are the chief exporters of mass murder, death, and terrorism on this planet. We just always cover ours in different terminology. We don't refer to ourselves as terrorists. Obviously, we don't, because we're the good guys. Right? So I just wanted to pass that on to you. For those of you who are familiar with that website, whatreallyhappened.com, you can check it out at your leisure. I have a question. What is all the attention being focused on U.S. Episcopalians deciding or not deciding to have a gay bishop? What the hell is going on? Why is this a massive news story? Is it because most things gay, queer, homosexual are in the news right now? Or is there something about the Episcopalian Church that all of a sudden is commanding attention? What? Can anybody, 800-TALK, yes, seriously, can you tell me why this is such a big issue? How many people in this country are Episcopalian? What, 3 million? 4 million? What? Now, the way I understand the story, today, charges that cropped up at the last minute against Gene Robinson, who is the bishop-elect, the openly gay, who cares anymore if somebody is gay or not gay? Oh, for God's sake. Control yourself, Malloy. Last-minute allegations that showed up yesterday, I believe, right before the Council of Bishops for the Episcopal Church was about to vote on bishop-elect Gene Robinson. They're going to take this guy and make him a bishop. And he's queer! Like, so what? I mean, who cares? Oh, God. So anyway, whoever is in charge of these things for the Episcopal Church spent the day interviewing the complainant. Apparently some freak who, I don't know, a guy named David Lewis, who said he was improperly touched by this bishop-elect. Improperly touched. Turns out David Lewis, who filed the complaint, was touched on his arm and his back. This is a guy that has some issues about homosexuality. Oh, why are you touching me there? Jesus. I mean, can you believe this? And then, of course, the catch-all charge against anybody in this country, if you want to bring a nomination or a confirmation to a halt, accuse them, whether it's true or not. In the case of Uncle Clarence Thomas, it was true. But in just accuse them of having anything to do with porn, right?
Hey, wait a minute! He links to a porn website on his, his email or something. I know it's there. I know he's looking at porn.
Right? That's all you have to do. So they check out everything, whoever does this checking for the Council of Bishops. And turns out there's nothing there. There's no there, nothing. So I think they're going to vote tonight, or they've already voted, or they're in the process of voting, or whatever. Where are they? Minneapolis? Yeah, Minneapolis. So we're coming into work tonight, and I'm listening to All Things Considered, NPR. And, you know, live show. I love All Things Considered. I really do. I don't get involved, whether it's liberal or conservative, gay, straight, black, white, Jew, Gentile. I couldn't care less. I like the program. So they get their NPR correspondent in Minneapolis on the hotline to give an account of what has gone on today. I have never heard anything like that. Kathy and I were just kind of staring at the radio in the dashboard. Like, the reporter kept saying, well, I've lost my notes. Let's see now. And, the reporter back in Washington is saying, well, can you tell us what happened out there? Well, I don't know. Well, were you there? Yeah, but I've lost. Oh, it was awful. It was awful. So you have to go to Reuters, go online, you get all the information. So it turns out that the charges against this bishop-to-be, Gene Robinson, were just jive turkey nonsense. the conservatives in this church, and again, how big is the Episcopal Church in this country? 2 million? Gee, can we all yawn? 2 million? I mean, if they want to have, if the Episcopalians want to have a Miss Nude Universe 1983 as a bishop, who the hell cares? I guess the Episcopalians care. But it's all over the news, right? I mean, for 2 days, Episcopalian. Oh, my God, the guy is gay. Oh, geez. Oh, well, Jesus is going to come down from heaven and start smiting things. Oh, God is just going to have an absolute hissy fit. This morning, I turn on CNN. I'm still in bed, right? I'm still in bed. It's 9:30 this morning. I'm still in bed. I turn on CNN. Oh, dear God. There's Jerry Falwell. There he is, the Antichrist. And the reporter, who's the dude that's on in the morning? I don't know, or the woman. Early in the 9:30 to me is early. I'm sorry, we don't go to bed till 3 in the morning. So 9:30 is like, huh, there's Jerry Falwell on television, on CNN. And the anchor is asking, Falwell? About the Episcopalians going to elect a queer? Oh, my God. There's Well,
you know, I'm just real disappointed that my brothers in Christ are about to put a sodomite in the bishopry. You know, to me, this is just terrible. I don't know. The sodomites and the homosexuals and the liberals are destroying them.
You know, why? In the name of all things holy, which I don't believe anything is holy. Not in the sense that these freaks mean it. But in the name of that, whatever that is, why do they go to Jerry Falwell? Falwell is a demon from hell, from the Christian hell. Falwell is in the sub-basement. He's the one that cleans the sewers in hell. Why do they ask him? What is up with CNN? Why would they ask Jerry Falwell anything? This rat bastard is the one who said, well, I'll tell you why 9-1-1 happened.
Because of the liberals and the Democrats and the homosexuals and, the women's libbers.
Why do they ask this guy anything? The only question that he should be asked is, Jerry, when are you going to go on to your reward? Huh? When are you going to get the hell off this planet? Oh, jeez, Malloy, calm down. Calm down. So that's the issue. That's another issue all over today. NPR, radio, television. Whether or not the Episcopalians are going to vote in a new bishop who happens to be gay. Oh, my God. Maybe Mary and Skokie can make some sense out of this. Mary, please take a shot at it.
Well, first of all, excuse me, I do have a cold. First of all, they did vote, and he is in. It was 64 to 45.
Okay. Now, is there going to be a big schism? The last time the Episcopalians threatened a break in their church is when they decided to ordain women. Back in, what was it, the 70s?
Well, actually, when the last threat was when a woman became a bishop.
Well, that's what I just said.
Not the ordination of women to the priesthood. Bishop is higher.
No, I'm sorry, I misspoke. Yeah. I meant when they decided to allow women to be
right.
Bishops. When was that, in the 70s?
That was 89.
Okay, so the conservatives in the Episcopal Church threaten a schism. Did you say schism or schism?
Schism.
Okay. They threatened a schism then, and it never happened. So is it going to happen this time? And before you answer, let me put you on hold, because we've got to take a break, and I'll come back and get your answer afterwards. Mary's going to straighten us out. If you have an opinion on this, give us a call. 800-TALK-YES. We'll move on in a few minutes, but I want to talk about the Episcopal gay bishop. Okay?
Johnson marked the outline where the boy first dropped. Beware the Holy Trinity, church and state and law. For every death the virus gets more deadly than before. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these. Homophobia.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
Show. Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer at the briefing today.
The job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad?
Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk. Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
Alrighty, then.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour, we are talking about what occurred this evening, the vote taken on the bishop who happens to be gay for the Episcopal Church, Gene Robinson. Now, I've gotten some information here in the past few minutes, and we'll come right back to Mary here in a second. The Episcopal Church, 2.3 million members, is the U.S. branch of the 77 million member global Anglican Communion. Let me just tell you something. My son Christopher, who is now 24 years old, his mother is from New Zealand. His maternal grandparents, they're both dead now, came to the United States on a trip when Chris was 6 months old. This was almost a quarter of a century ago. When my son was 6 months old, his grandparents came up from New Zealand. They were touring the U.S. and Canada. So Chris's mother and I, married at the time, decided that as a gesture of something, I don't know, for his grandparents, who happened to be of the Anglican Church, we would have Chris, when he was 6 months old, baptized in an Episcopal church here in Atlanta. So I asked a good friend of mine to be my son's godfather. I had some friends show up who were in a rock band, just as witnesses. And we met in the vestry of the Cathedral of St. Philip here in Atlanta. If you live in the Atlanta area, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous church. And Chris was baptized. My son was baptized in the Episcopal Church. Now, I gave him no religious training whatsoever as a child. I kept him out of churches. Now, I know that's terrible. To some of you, that will appear to be child abuse. But, you know, and I told him as he got older, you will make your own decisions about spirituality and religion and so on and so forth when you become an adult. I am not going to put anything in the child's head. None of my five children had any religious training pumped into their little noggins when they were babies or when they were children. Now, two of them elected to become Catholic. Two of them are, I guess, atheist. And Chris, I don't know what Chris is. I guess he's agnostic. I have no idea. But I drop that in just to let you know I have no bias against the Anglican or the Episcopal Church whatsoever. I have a bias against all organized religion, but certainly not against Episcopals. Now, we were talking with Mary in Skokie, Illinois, who was explaining all this to us. Go ahead, Mary. Thanks for holding on.
I've been Episcopalian for about 24 years. And I also was almost a priest for a while, so I know the church fairly well.
Yes, you do.
One of the issues that came out, this has been a troubling issue for those of us that are liberal in a really surprising way.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that the biggest controversy in the worldwide Anglican Communion has to do with the church in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
African Anglicans are amongst the most conservative. As a matter of fact, the Anglican Church of Rwanda now has a couple of parishes in the United States that are under it because the rest of us are too, Episcopalians are too liberal. So the African Church of Rwanda is now supervising some Episcopal parishes in the United States.
Interesting.
And Rwanda is sending missionaries here to try to save us from our craven ways.
Uh-huh.
And we're saying, you know, Rwanda, you probably have some of your own problems.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, the American Episcopal Church gives the Rwandan Church lots of money to help with their problems, and that's been a sore point.
Well, here's two words for the Rwandan Episcopals, Tutsi, Hutu.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, I'm going to have to ask you hold again. I want to hear what you got to say. I'll come back to you, Mary, okay?
Okay.
All right, let me put you on hold. We got to take a quick break here. And if you are also on hold, please stay there. I want to hear what you got to say. We are talking about the controversy. There's the word. In the Episcopal Church that was not resolved today. Today, it was just made, I don't know, even greater than it was yesterday.
Yes, you know you got to get right with God. Because I want to get right with God. Yes, you know you got to get right with God. Because I want to get right with God. Yes, you know you got to get right with God.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You're kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. 3,000 San Francisco janitors remain on the job today despite a threatened strike. Members of Service Employees International Union Local 1877 saw their old contract expire last Thursday and nearly let the first of 250 downtown San Francisco buildings go unclean today. But a last-minute intervention by Mayor Willie Brown, who's offered to serve as a mediator today, delayed any job actions. The key sticking point is health care costs. Under management's latest proposal, employers would continue to pay 100% of janitors' health care premiums, but would increase the cost of doctors' office copayments. The union says that would open the floodgate to future rollbacks in employee health care.
Sales and service employees with Quest Communications have ratified a new two-year contract. The 27,000 workers covered under the agreement in 14 states, represented by the Communications Workers of America and International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, will have their wages frozen for 2 years, but there is the possibility for performance bonuses. Health insurance premiums will also remain unchanged, but co-payments for doctor's visits and prescriptions will rise. However, the contract does contain language that prohibits the company from whittling away at most union jobs.
Employees of the world's largest privately owned copper mine have averted a strike, at least for now. Unsatisfied with their employer's offer on wages, 95% of workers at Chile's Escondida mine authorized a walkout last Wednesday, but a weekend strike deadline was rolled back until tomorrow after mine managers made unspecified improvements at the bargaining table. A strike would send shockwaves through global copper markets, as the Escondida mine produces nearly 5% of all the world's copper.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
We have a fear of state religion. That's not what we're going for. We don't want for one governmental religion. Government will never, you know, say this is the religion. We're free from society for religion.
Oh, shut up and sit down. 800-TALK, yes. We are talking with Mary in Skokie, Illinois, about the situation in the Episcopal Church, that part of which was resolved today with the election of openly gay Bishop, Gene Robinson. And now the real problem begins is how the Episcopal Church is going to deal with this. All right, Mary, thanks for holding on again.
Well, there's great fear, especially that the churches in Africa may rebel and decide to leave the communion. And we have tried to understand what their issue is with gays. And we've discovered that they are on a totally different planet. Apparently, I mean, Africa, women are very low class. And for a man to have sex with another man is to make the man a woman. And so, and also they associate homosexuality with rape in war. So they perceive homosexuality as being about a man being humiliated by another man. Putting a man in a woman's position is to humiliate him. And that is their view. They associate it with humiliation and rape. Mm-hmm. Very, very hard issue. And it is such a tough issue in Africa, partly because there's such competition for religion there. The Muslims are out, are chasing, and they're very anti-gay. And there's the gay issue is really a whole different ballgame in some of the rest of the world than it is in the United States.
Yeah, the Christian fundamentalists are all over the world, like vermin, trying to, also and very anti-gay.
Well, it has its roots in actually in the oppression of women.
Right.
You see, if women are under men and women are supposed to be really nothing, then to make a man into a woman is do a bad thing to him.
I know. I just can't stand this.
Pardon?
I just can't stand this. This is insane. Do you ever get the feeling that no matter where you are on this planet, that you live in a madhouse?
What I'm trying to say to you, though, is that we as Episcopalians are pained about this because we understand that there's a lot of trouble in Africa.
Right.
You know, it's a terrible place to be, and we think it is their pain that is causing them to project this anger on us.
All right, what's going to happen with the Episcopal Church in the U.S. with its 2.3 million members? What's going to happen to the American Church?
I think that some of them, a few more, will split. But notice how this vote was not close. Every side went
62 to 45. There were two abstentions, I understand.
That was the bishops. It was also voted by the laity.
Uh-huh.
And the priest, and it was always about a 2-1.
Right.
Everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And so it wasn't close. And that tells you that many of the conservatives are already gone.
Mm-hmm.
They left on women. They left on various other issues.
Yeah.
And so we're sort of becoming the liberal group. And when I say the liberal group, I don't mean there are lots of other Christian groups. But there's this sort of special thing about being part of the, quote, apostolic succession.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're supposed to be able to trace your roots all the way back to Christ,
right,
and his disciples, and it's an unbroken chain.
Mm-hmm.
And there are only three denominations in that category. One is Roman Catholic, one is Eastern Orthodox, and the third is Anglican.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, you see, Rome has been willing to take Anglican priests.
Right, right.
And they just take them and sort of reorder them. But you can't do that from being a regular Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a slap in the face of the Pope. That's another reason why it's getting, I think, a lot of attention.
Uh-huh.
It is a slap in the face of the Pope, who just a week ago called homosexuality evil.
Right, right.
And I think that's part of what's going on here. This is an international issue. It is not just, this is at least as important as Lacey Peterson. And you know, you complained about it being big news, but it's at least as important as that.
Well, what I'm trying to say is, you know, the Episcopal Church never gets any press whatsoever in this country until and unless they do something that is based in common sense and progressive thought, i.e. women can be bishops. Another i.e. Men or women who happen to be gay can be bishops. Then all of a sudden, oh, my God, look
they're
at this.
In a few days, they're going to be voting on blessing gay unions also at
right.
the same convention, and that will also be controversial.
Oh, I'm sure.
But I think they'll probably vote for it after this particular vote.
I
most places are doing it. It's quite common. We do it in Chicago a lot, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, Mary, thanks. I'm glad you checked in and gave us some insights into all this. Appreciate it. You have a nice evening. The Associated Press, of course, is reporting this also because the vote just occurred, within the past couple hours, I guess. After the results were announced, that is the confirmation of the new bishop, Bishop Robert Duncan of Pittsburgh, a conservative who had campaigned against Mr. Robinson, stood at the podium in the House of Bishops, surrounded by fellow conservatives, and read a speech saying that he and others were filled with sorrow. He said the Episcopal Church has divided itself from millions of Anglicans throughout the world. He said, this body willfully confirming the election of a person sexually active outside of holy matrimony has departed from the historic faith and order of Jesus Christ. May God have mercy on this church, Bishop Duncan said. Wow, man, you are really head up about this, aren't you? How do you know that the new bishop is sexually active? Did someone question? Oh, that's right. He has a male partner. Maybe they just hold hands. Oops, can't do that. What is it with this gay thing? I don't care if it's churches. I don't care if it's these psychotic social conservatives, these right-wingers, all of whom bust up on gays, and each one of them has a homosexual family member. What is up with this? Oh, I know the stock answers. I know the standard answers. I understand. I'm just tossing out rhetorically. I'm so over hearing people, these right wingers, these conservatives, these people with their head firmly up their anal orifices, you know, talking to inside an echo chamber. I just get so sick of it. Why don't you people just, I don't know, go break things or go do whatever you do. If somebody happens to be gay, what the hell do you care? What, are they going to come and snatch your daughter?
Jesus is weeping in heaven tonight.
I mean, this is what this Bishop Duncan might as well have said.
We're filled with sorrow. The queer is staying. The queer is on the board of bishops. He's a bishop. Oh, my God, we have a queer bishop. Oh.
I mean, people are starving to death on this planet. People are being napalmed. People are dying of diarrheal diseases. Children! And these people are concerned because a man who happens to be gay is now a bishop in the Episcopal Church of the USA. I mean, oh my God. What is it with these people that they can't get their faces and heads and minds out of somebody else's crotch? Hey, Bishop Duncan, I'll tell you what. Why don't you just forget the new queer bishop in your church and go save some people from dying? I can tell you 50 spots on the planet where your services would be greatly appreciated, right? Huh? I know some AIDS patients who have bloody diarrhea would love to have somebody clean them up. How about that? Would you like to do that, Bishop? Isn't that Christ's work? I know starving children that might like to be held.
No, you've got to stand at the podium.
Oh, Christ is weeping in heaven tonight because we have a gay bishop. Oh, saints preserve us. What are we going to do? Oh, it's awful. It's awful.
God.
Okay, I will take a couple more calls on this, and then we're going to move on, because I brought it up. So, Russ is calling from Santa Cruz. Hey, Russ.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Nice to hear your voice live. I haven't, since you moved your time, I usually only download the MP3s.
I know. I understand.
But I try to listen once in a while.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And I wanted to... go rant just a little bit more on the gay issue.
Sure, let her rip.
You know, I remember I used to worry about things like global warming and
yeah,
how all that's like, you know, whatever. We got all these really important issues now.
Like gay bishops.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so much more important than preserving our nest.
But I just can't believe I'm so sick of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I went to art school in San Francisco, know lots of gay people, and I could, you know, they're doctors, lawyers, you know, all professions. And I just can't believe these guys. I was listening to Michael Reagan the other night.
Oh, God.
Sometime I listened to that guy coming home from work. He's such a schmuck.
Yeah.
And he was just going off. I mean, the hatred that was coming out from this guy about gays.
I know.
And I was like, you know, these guys are all these pro-American guys. They're always talking about freedom and united.
Yeah.
But it's like you're united except for the gays, the atheists, the peace activists, the liberals. It's like these guys are so...
Conservative. Yeah, conservatives are about one thing, hatred. That's it. I mean, that's all they know how to do.
I think if we were all straight, if we were all white... they would still find something to discriminate about.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, the blue-eyed people are the brown-eyed people.
Right.
And I'm just so sick of it.
I know.
And, you know, one thing I noticed, another thing about conservatives on these talk shows, they'll believe anything the Bush administration tells them.
Sure.
And, you know, I vote Democrat. But I don't believe everything Democrats say. I didn't believe everything that Clinton's administration said.
Right.
And they say, well, Condoleezza Rice said. It's like, yeah. And I'd like to ask these guys, I'm like, besides Clinton and Nixon, do you think other presidential administrations have lied before? And they'd say, well, yeah.
Russ, we live in a house of mirrors. You're too young to remember Midway's traveling carnivals that had fun houses, aren't you? You've never been inside a fun house, have you?
I'm not
talking about Mustang Ranch out in Reno, Nevada. They were called fun houses, and they had slides and dark rooms, and you come around a corner, and all of a sudden there'd be a million mirrors,
uh-huh.
And the idea was to utterly confuse you about the way out. But what it really did was confuse you about which one was the real you. Well, at least that's what happened to me. Of course, that might have been the acid, but that's where we live now. We live in it. We live in a house of mirrors. It's one of those horrible, macabre fun houses where everything is just going nuts. You understand that, don't you?
Oh, it's just crazy.
Don't you, Russ?
It's getting harder and harder for me to be proud to be an American.
Yeah.
Because it's just getting so screwed up.
I hear you, Russ. Thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Keep up the great work, Mike.
Thank you, sir. All right. You take care. You have a nice evening. That's Russ from Santa Cruz. Bless his heart. Shelley is calling from Granby, Massachusetts. Shelley, this is your first time calling, right?
Yes.
Well, welcome aboard.
Thank you. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Glad to be on the show.
Yeah.
Enjoy your show a lot.
Thank you.
Well, I wanted to talk with you a bit, if I could, about the Gene Robinson situation.
Sure.
I think we're completely on the same page. In terms of the Gene Robinson situation,
uh-huh.
And I have to say right off the bat, I'm a psychologist, I'm also bisexual, and so this kind of hits me where I live in a lot of ways.
Right.
And I think that the place where we might differ on this a bit is in that I think it's important to talk about this. I think it's important to talk about Gene Robinson. It's important to talk about his appointment in the Episcopal Church. And
I don't disagree with that. Given give me a second here. Given how crazy. That's the only word. I wanted to avoid that word because you're a psychologist.
Given how what?
Crazy.
Crazy. Oh,
given
crazy.
How crazy we are in this society. I mean, the fact that a man being confirmed as a bishop in the Episcopal Church who happens to be gay has become major news. Just like whether or not Kobe Bryant raped somebody in his room or had consensual sex has become major news.
Right.
I mean, this is the part that, to me, I don't think any of this stuff deserves to be talked about. It shouldn't be talked about. It shouldn't be an issue is what I'm trying to say.
I agree it shouldn't be. But what ought not to be an issue and what is an issue are two different things.
Well, that's
and
true. Yeah.
I would, consider this. I was thinking when I was hearing this story about 1960,
uh-huh.
And what was the little girl's name? Ruby Bridges, who was the first African American little girl to go into the schools, into all white schools, and how she did this, and this was a very newsworthy event,
mm-hmm.
And it could be, you could think of it in the same kind of a way. Should we not talk about that?
Well,
we ought not to. We shouldn't have to.
Yeah, I guess in that context, you're right. I guess it is something that should be talked about. But just like the situation with young Miss Ruby Bridges, this issue will further. When you're talking about racial, all we did in this society after we were ordered to integrate was resegregate. Everybody in this country knows that America has resegregated itself. Probably to a greater degree than when segregation was accepted with a wink and a nod as part of the social system here.
Mm-hmm.
As far as sexuality is concerned, to not include people because of their sexual orientation, to me, is just beyond. I cannot get my mind around that, because it's based on some insane religious
interpretation of what is right and what is not right sexual behavior. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So whereas I can see why there was resistance to integration, racial integration, the courts ordered it, the races put up with it until the races said to hell with it, and we have resegregated ourselves to a greater extent than back in the 50s. Let me put you on hold. I'll come back in a second because we got to take a quick break here. Y'all understand what I'm talking about, don't you? I mean, I get it. I do get it. I do get what Shelley's saying. Yes, this sort of stuff should be talked about. Absolutely.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Dave Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on,
there.
This is a commercial for a major radio network.
Wish
we can do better.
Animal Talk, down Sunday down nights starts. On the IE America Radio Network.
Ready for a liberal helping of the truth? Here's Mike.
Five before the hour, we're talking with Shelley, who has called in from Granby, Massachusetts. Shelley, thanks for holding on.
Thanks.
Now, where were we?
Well, I think we were talking about why it's important to talk about Gene Robinson.
Okay.
And we disagreed a bit on that. And you know, another thing, Mike, that I think, if I could, I'm sorry if I'm not cutting you off, if you had something else to say about that.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
I don't want to take over your show by any means. But,
take over, kiddo.
But I think something that I was thinking about during the break that I think might be relevant to this is that the idea of being homosexual or bisexual or lesbian or whatever is very sexualized mm-hmm. by the culture. And I think that that's a very limited kind of narrow view of what it's about to be bisexual or homosexual or lesbian or what have you. And what reminded me of this was the link that was so talked about from this website that Gene Robinson had or he was involved with or whatever. Link to some erotic material.
Uh-huh.
And there was indeed a link, and I saw the link, and I'm familiar with the site from which the link came. And it's, I think what happened there, he kind of got screwed because, no pun intended, because he had this website.
Mm-hmm.
He was involved with that, and it became linked up with materials that are very sexualized because I think the culture very
right.
much sexualizes the whole business of homosexuality, especially bisexuality.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's not about sex at all. I mean, heterosexuality is not sexualized. I mean, that's just about partnership, and it's about being together, and it's about rights, and it's about marriage and family, et cetera, and sex, too. But, it, you know what I'm saying? It's not
sure.
as sexualized
sure.
as homosexuality is, and particularly bisexuality is, and I think that's...
Well,
he probably had no idea that this...
Yeah, and identifying people by their sexual orientation is always what we reserve for people who are non-heterosexuals. We don't say, hi, I'd like you to meet my friend Jim. He's a heterosexual, but, you know, he's a nice guy. You know, we don't do that.
Exactly.
And it's just bizarre. Like I said to an earlier caller, I sometimes think I'm living in a funhouse, and as we all know, funhouses weren't fun. Shelley, I'm glad you checked in. I hope you call again.
Thanks for talking to me, Mike.
Hey, my pleasure. You have a nice evening.
You too.
Bye-bye. Quick break, folks. We'll be back. Stick around.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003. Hi, truth seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of the Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
This is my Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate me?
True.
You what? Hate me?
I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The White House is condemning the car bombing in Jakarta, Indonesia that's killed more than a dozen people. More than 100 others were injured in the huge explosion. White House spokesman Scott McClellan is with the president in Crawford, Texas.
This is a deplorable attack on innocent civilians. And our thoughts and prayers are with the victims and with their families.
The blast occurred in the JW Marriott Hotel, part of an American hotel chain. Jakarta is the capital of Indonesia, the world's most populous Muslim country. A deadly terrorist blast shook Bali last October. Defense officials are set to deploy an experimental new security task force in Iraq. The U.S. Army is combining elite special forces, infantry, military police, and civil affairs troops to form one peacekeeping unit. The groups normally don't work together, but Army Vice Chief of Staff General John Keane says the joint operation will enable greater military flexibility. Keane did not specify how large the new task force would be or where it would be deployed. The group is being assembled by Central Command and the 82nd Airborne Division. Television cameras will not be allowed to film an upcoming inquiry into the death of British scientist David Kelly. British Prime Minister Tony Blair and Defense Secretary Jeff Hoon are expected to be grilled during the hearing into how Kelly was revealed as the source of a BBC report. That report claimed the British government exaggerated the threat from Iraq in order to justify a war. The judge in charge of the case issued the ruling today. Despite appeals from the media, he said only the opening and closing statements of the inquiry will be broadcast.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try smoke-free, completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
All nine Democratic presidential candidates are in Chicago for the first time. They are here to court union votes at an AFL-CIO executive committee forum. Mayor Richard Daley, the city's top Democrat, says he has more important things to do after a busy day at the office than watch a political debate.
You must be kidding. I'll be watching the Sox game.
I'm going.
No. Hey, wait. I had to work all day today. Do you mind? I'm going to do what I want to do. I mean, I'm sorry. You know, if I want to watch it, I will watch it personally. And that would be my opinion.
The 90-minute presidential forum begins at 7 p.m. at Navy Pier's Grand Ballroom. C-SPAN will broadcast the forum live. While the AFL-CIO hasn't made an endorsement, the labor vote is leaning towards Representative Dick Gebhardt. The Missouri Democrat unveiled endorsements from the Teamsters and the Steelworkers Union at the Drake Hotel on Tuesday.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Nearly 200,000 pounds of frozen ground beef is being recalled because of possible E. coli contamination. Officials at Minnesota-based Ellison Meat Company launched the recall after two people in Colorado fell ill from eating ground beef patties suspected to be tainted with the bacterium. The USDA reports two individuals were hospitalized last month. The beef in question bears the establishment code EST.8934 and was produced between May 30th and June 11th. E. coli contamination can cause diarrhea, vomiting, and cramps. It can sometimes be deadly with children, the elderly, and those with compromised immune systems particularly at risk. Strong economic news was overshadowed by a jump in bond yields to send stocks down for the session. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 150 points to 90.36. The S&P 500 was down 17 to 9.65. The NASDAQ dipped 41 points to 16.74. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. What could the Lost in Space robot and Star Wars R2-D2 have in common with a phenomenon called dieseling? Will Robinson and Luke Skywalker know, and when I come back, I'll tell you.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing. For Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti, there's one more key to racing. Champion spark plugs. They race different makes of cars. Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion spark plugs.
Just like Will and Luke have some far-fetched friends to warn them of impending danger, your car has ways to warn you of the impending danger of neglected maintenance. One tune-up red flag is dieseling. Known as after-run, dieseling occurs when an engine chugs on after the ignition is turned off. Causes? Inferior gas, excessive idle speed, and carbon in the combustion chamber. Dieseling is just one warning that, if neglected, may leave you lost in space. The space alongside the road. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk, yes. D, our Omaha, Nebraska Bureau Chief is checking in. D, thanks for holding on. I know you've been holding on for like, an hour?
Oh, no, that's fine. That's cool.
Okay, well, welcome over, D.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, you know, we're talking a little about religion today and such.
Uh huh.
And I don't really have much to say about the bishop, but I am extremely afraid of Armageddon.
Well, only insofar as it's somebody, somebody has decided, a bunch of somebodies over the course of the past 2,000 years decided to take this nonsense literally. And there are religious fundamentalists who would love nothing more than to see mass death and destruction in the hope that somehow that will entice one of the cloud beings to come down here and rescue us all. So, you know, I wouldn't be afraid of Armageddon from a mythical or religious point of view. I would be terrified of it, though, which I am, when I stop and consider that Christian Zionists are pushing us into that because they think that'll bait the baby Jesus to come back and wash us all in his blood or something. I don't know. It's just weird. It's bizarre beyond belief.
Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about is, that nuclear Armageddon.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, when you talk about Christian Zionists, you know, I mean, who other can we talk about but the one in the White House right now?
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
And, I mean, it's almost as if he really does want to bring it on, you know. I mean, and specifically what I want to talk about today is Speak Out at Stratcom. Have you heard anything about that or anything?
Stratcom, yes, but Speak Out at Stratcom, no. Fill us in. What is it?
Well, just this past weekend, there was a 3-day protest. It was pretty interesting, right here in Omaha, off at Air Force Base is here,
right,
which is STRATCOM.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up right next to it and everything, and lots of friends in the Air Force, lots of friends whose parents were in the Air Force. And this week, what's happening is a bunch of nuclear scientists from across the nation are getting together there to talk about how we can improve our nuclear weapons stockpile.
That's the mini nukes thing.
Yes, exactly. The
right.
Mini nukes, the bunker buster nukes,
yeah.
You know, all that sort of thing. So really fun stuff. So the 3-day protest included, you know, a speech by Kucinich, a concert with Michelle Schacht, a march off at Air Force Base, etc. And it was really interesting stuff. It's just really, I cannot believe they're actually thinking that they may want to use these weapons, you know.
Well, you know what tomorrow is, don't you? Tomorrow is August 6th. On August 6th, 1945,
mm-hmm.
we made the first use of a weapon of mass destruction, a nuclear bomb on Hiroshima or Hiroshima, depending on what part of the country you're from, determines how you're going to pronounce that word. But and then 3 days later, on August 9th, we did it to Nagasaki.
Yes.
So it is almost a perfect serendipity, not serendipity, but a perfect circle here. That this meeting it takes place this week, or it's already taken place?
It starts on Thursday.
Thursday.
The meeting of the nuclear scientists, including lots of Pentagon officials. Cheney is rumored to be coming, and, you know, we're going to have lots of fun for that, you know. And
yeah.
Stuff.
Well, a day after, then, the anniversary of the nuking of Hiroshima.
Yeah.
These people will be meeting to come up. Yeah, the idea of mini nukes, it's like, I don't know, like mini mart. It's just the prefix MINI kind of trivializes the fact that they're talking about a nuclear weapon, or as George would say, a nuclear weapon. I don't know. We're I've said it before. We're on the verge of some kind of group insanity here.
Definitely.
So what are y'all going to do, Dee? In Omaha to celebrate the arrival or the initiation of this meeting?
Well, they already celebrated it just this past weekend, you know, with the march and the concert and the speech by Kucinich and all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, unfortunately, it didn't draw a lot of people. I'd say about maybe 200 to 400 people in all. You know, if
right.
this were a big city on one of the coasts, it might have done differently. You know, there might have been thousands there. Who knows? But, you know, we're in Omaha, which tends to be a little more conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And
just a tad.
Yeah, you know, I mean, one of the most Republican states in the nation. I like it here, but, you know, I mean, things
sure.
are a little conservative here. So, you know, the thing is, I'll just leave you with two things, actually. One thing that scared the heck out of me is that one of the guys who is supposed to be there, or two or three of the guys, actually, are men who wrote an article. I think it was back in the 90s, and I wish I could quote the title and all of that. But it was talking about how they are now Pentagon. They're with the Pentagon somehow, and it's talking about how we could still win a nuclear war even
sure.
If we absorb 20,000 deaths.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
well,
in this country. Oh, that's fine. You know, yeah, that's winnable. You know.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is just that Kucinich was amazing, and the house was packed. It was only a 15-minute speech. He brought the house to its feet at least 3 times.
Mm.
I'm 95% in his camp. The only thing that's stopping me is I really like Dean also, so I'm not sure which yet that I'll be volunteering for, but...
Well, you got it down to the good two.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think
amazing
so.
Speakers and very progressivist, especially Kucinich, of course.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so...
Well, Dee, thanks for the report. If anything weird happens in Omaha, of course, that's your territory. Let us know, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. You know, maybe one way to disturb that meeting at Offutt Air Force Base, when Dee was talking, I kind of flashed on the Buddhist monks back in Saigon in the mid-60s in protest of the Diem or his successor. I'm not sure which it was. Maybe this was early on, 63, 60. Well, Diem was assassinated in the spring of 63, and Kennedy was assassinated in the fall of 63. So whoever it was who succeeded Ngo Dinh Diem and the Buddhist monks that were protesting that government, are you old enough to remember the pictures? They would douse themselves with gasoline or kerosene or jet fuel or whatever, the monks would. After getting into a deep state of meditation, they would have someone help them, or they would do it themselves. And then they would set themselves on fire and burn into a little crispy former monk. And they, you know, no screams, no shrieks, just protest. I wonder if we've reached that point in this country where some of us need to get into, is it redundant, Kathy, to say self-immolation? Does immolation imply? It does not. Okay. Some of us should get into self-immolation, you know, douse ourselves with the... God, this is talk radio, and I'm saying this. Eh? The burning monks. Remember the burning... Well, what the hell? We're using napalm in we used napalm in Iraq. Did you see that? Did you see that report? Huh? Where is it? Yeah, here it is. Officials in the U.S. military confirm dropping what they now call firebombs on Iraqi troops. This was in the San Diego Union Tribune. Now, San Diego, as you know, is probably the most right-wing city in America. They hate the fact that they're on the so-called left coast. But here's what the newspaper out there says. American jets killed Iraqi troops with firebombs, similar to the controversial napalm used in the Vietnam War, in March and April as Marines battled toward Baghdad. Marine Corps fighter pilots and commanders who have returned from the war zone have confirmed dropping dozens of incendiary bombs near bridges over the Saddam Canal and the Tigris River. The explosions created massive fireballs. Colonel Randolph Alice, in a recent interview, he commanded Marine Air Group 11, based at Miramar Marine Corps Air Station in San Diego, said, "We napalmed both those bridges. Unfortunately, there were people there because you could see them in the video. They were Iraqi soldiers there. It's no great way to die," the colonel added. How many Iraqis died, the military couldn't say. No accurate account has been made of Iraqi war casualties. Now, during the war, Pentagon spokesman disputed reports that napalm was being used. See more lies from this corrupt, filthy, vomitous Bush administration. They lied again. They said that the Pentagon stockpile had been destroyed 2 years ago. Ah, you see, the spokesmen were drawing a distinction between the terms firebomb and napalm. If reporters had asked about firebombs, officials said yesterday, they would have confirmed their use. What the Marines dropped, the military spokesman said yesterday, were Mark 77 firebombs. Devices that are remarkably similar to napalm weapons. You see, rather than using gasoline and benzene as the fuel, which is what you find in napalm, the firebombs use kerosene-based jet fuel, which has a smaller concentration of benzene. Now, this is your tax dollars. This is why they hate us. Think about this for a second. Burned people alive. Roasted people. Okay, roasted people. Hundreds of partially loaded Mark 77 firebombs were stored on pre-positioned ammunition ships overseas, Marine Corps officials said. Those ships were unloaded in Kuwait during the weeks preceding the war. A defense analyst with GlobalSecurity.org, a nonpartisan research group in Alexandria, Virginia, said, "You can call it something other than napalm, but it's napalm." Robert Musil, executive director of Physicians for Social Responsibility, said incendiaries create burns that are difficult to treat. Robert Musil described the Pentagon's distinction between napalm and Mark 77 firebombs as pretty outrageous, clearly Orwellian. Two embedded journalists reported what they described as napalm being dropped on an Iraqi observation post at Safwan Hill overlooking the Kuwait border. Reporters for CNN and the Sydney, Australia Morning Herald were told by unnamed Marine officers that an aircraft dropped napalm on the Iraqi position, which was adjacent to one of the Marines' main invasion routes. Their reports were disputed by several Pentagon spokesmen who said no such bombs were used, nor did the United States have any napalm weapons. Yesterday, military spokesmen described what they see as the distinction between the two types of incendiary bombs. They said mixture used in modern firebombs is a less harmful mixture than Vietnam War-era napalm. Tell that to someone who is being roasted alive.
Hypocrites and liars.
The quality of mercy is not good.
Senators and lawyers.
The quality of mercy is not good.
Victims and heroes.
The quality of mercy is not good.
Murderers and martyrs. Quality of mercy is.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Attention Americans, the Pentagon is back on Code Red Alert. Not because of another threat from foreign terrorists, but because of a red, white, and blue attack by solid American patriots. These patriots are hitting the very heart of the Pentagon, its budget. This is not an assault from the left, attacking the waste and fraud in the bloated budget, but rather a surprise attack from the right. It's led by Republican Representative Duncan Hunter, a super hawk who's never seen a weapons program he wouldn't throw our tax dollars at. Hunter has no quarrel with the unlimited billions we pay to Lockheed, Boeing, Raytheon, and other blood-sucking Pentagon contractors, but he is alarmed that these U.S. corporations are shipping so much of the work on these weapons offshore. The contractors are taking hard-earned tax dollars from America's working families, then thumbing their noses at us by sending the work, the jobs, the money, and even the technical expertise to Asia, Europe, and elsewhere. Where's the fairness or the patriotism in that, Duncan rightly asks. So he has shocked the Pentagon by putting a Buy American provision in the budget. It requires that 65% of the content of goods bought by the Pentagon must be made in the USA. Oh, the squeals from the corporate profiteers! They've been making a killing by charging top dollar for weaponry made on the cheap by low-wage subcontractors abroad. So their lobbyists are now swarming senators, demanding that they strip Hunter's Buy American provision from the bill. And they even got their boy Donnie Rumsfeld, the Pentagon chief, to promise a presidential veto if the budget includes what they call this, quote, ludicrous idea. This is Jim Hightower saying, what's ludicrous is that these greedheads consider a 65% Made in America standard to be ludicrous. To urge Representative Hunter to stand firm, call him, 202-225-5672.
are redefining war on our terms.
Yeah, you are. Our Elgin, Illinois Bureau Chief Ben, and who is also the webmaster and designer at WhiteRoseSociety.org, sends me an email here and suggests that I mention to our younger listeners John Hershey's book, Hiroshima, or Hiroshima. Let's just settle on this, okay? Hiroshima. And yes, Ben, I did read it. If I remember, John Hershey was a journalist who went to Hiroshima in about a year after the bombing, maybe a little bit more than that, say 1946. And the book Hiroshima follows the lives of six survivors of our dropping the atomic bomb on Hiroshima. And it also covers the hours just preceding that explosion on August 6th. And it carries forward. One of the things, and I don't remember the term, but the people in Hiroshima who were exposed to the radiation from the bomb, they were shunned by their countrymen. They were given a name, and for the life of me, obviously, I can't remember the name. But it was based on the fact that the Japanese government was so shamed by what had happened, they refused to take responsibility for the medical care and survival of these people. Maybe somebody will email me what that word is. It's a Japanese word. I think it means something like the shunned or the avoided or the ignored, the people who suffered in Hiroshima and then 3 days later in Nagasaki. But yes, I strongly recommend, you can probably, in any used bookstore, even the big ones, you know, I hate to recommend the big bookstores. If you've got a small bookstore in your neighborhood or your city, a used bookstore, Hiroshima, it's 55 years old, this book, okay? But it is a almost hour by hour account of, the lead up to the nuclear bombing of that Japanese city. And regardless of your opinion, whether you believe that the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki was absolutely necessary, or whether you believe in order to save millions upon millions of other Japanese lives and American lives that would have ended as a result of a land invasion, or if you believe the truth, which is this was a Harry Truman's version of shock and awe. The Russians had just gotten into the war as Japan's enemy. You know, they waited till the last minute. And this was to let the Russians know, we understand, Ruskies, what's going to happen after this war. We understand already that Joe Stalin is a freak and a nut and a moron and a psychopath. So let us show you our new bomb. And let us show you what happens when we drop it on a city. Now, think Moscow, Uncle Joe. Think Stalingrad, Uncle Joe. Think Kiev. Okay. But you should read it. And I, you know, I strongly recommend it. John Hershey's book, Hiroshima. It is not fiction. It is not fiction. Okay? And it is, I'm going to have to go home, dig it out, and reread it. Because I remember at the time, I read it as a teenager, I guess. And I remember thinking, and I was a teenager during the height of the Cold War in this country and on the planet and yada yada. But I remember it was just frightening to think that what John Hershey describes in that book could happen in Chicago, Toledo, Atlanta, Detroit, Elgin, Illinois, or any place else. And now these psychopathic bastards that work for the Bush crime family want to develop mini nukes. You know, we live in interesting times, don't we?
Don't know love from sky. Peace to give up. We didn't know. And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No. I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
An unusual wildlife disease takes a toll on muskies in Michigan. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The muskellunge is a big fish that's found only in North America and is highly prized by people who fish for sport. Muskies are aggressive, and people say catching one is like having a tiger by the tail. But muskies that people catch around Detroit these days aren't quite so tough. A lot of these big fish in the Detroit River and Lake St. Clair suffer from muskie pox. They're getting ugly red sores and then going belly up. The disease is called Piscorickettsia. It's caused by a bacterium that's been seen in salmon that were raised in saltwater fish farms, but it's never been seen in muskies or in the Great Lakes. Michael Thomas is a fisheries biologist with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. He's been trapping and studying muskellunge in Lake St. Clair since May 2002.
There's actually very little we know for certain about the organism and its effects, and where it came from is something that we definitely don't know.
Thomas says the disease is most likely responsible for the unusually large number of dead muskies seen this year. He says the disease is not considered harmful to human health, but it could have consequences for some local economies.
At Lake St. Clair, there is a very active and economically important sport fishery that targets muskies. The possibility that the population here could be reduced in abundance, or that the larger, older fish could be less abundant, is something of great concern.
Thomas says there are more questions than answers right now about the bacteria that causes musky pox, and researchers continue to study it in the field and in the lab. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
I view our nuclear arsenal as a deterrent. I'm interested in having an arsenal at my disposal.
Think about that for a second. A nuclear arsenal at George W. Bush's disposal. Huh? Think about that. No, don't. It's almost bedtime. Diana in Florida provided the word for me. I guess I'm pronouncing it right. Hibakusha. Hibakusha. Those were the people of Japan who survived the nuclear bombing and who suffered the effects of the radiation sickness, the radiation poisoning, and were shunned by their government. And because of the structure of the government, even post-World War II, consequently shunned by their fellow citizens until... Well, I guess that attitude changed, but it was what those people, the double insult of being nuked and then your own people turning away from you. And now we have people in the psychopathic Donald Rumsfeld I wish I could say on the air, and I don't know why I can't, what Colonel David Hackworth called Rumsfeld the other day. It's an interview. As a matter of fact, I'm going to post it at my website tonight. It's an interview at Salon.com. When you go to the link tonight, when you go to Salon.com, you can I realize it's a premium site, and I have to subscribe. But if you click on, just scroll down, there's a little thing there. Click on the box, and you watch a 30-second commercial, and then you get a free day pass, and you can go in and read this article. Can I say that word on the air, Kathy? I cannot. It's just a body orifice. I can't say the word. Okay. Well, you all put your minds at work. You know what Hackworth called Rumsfeld. Okay. Now, who is David Hackworth? Self-described, but true. The most decorated soldier from Vietnam. Is that a plus or a minus? Make your own decision. He also served, I believe, didn't Hackworth serve in other conflicts? Hackworth is the soldier. He retired as lieutenant colonel. The Pentagon people hate him because he really believes that if you're going to have a military, the military is there for one thing, to break things up and kill people. And if you're going to do that, if you're going to break things up and kill people, do it efficiently and protect your own troops. Make sure your troops are supported. Make sure that they're well-equipped. Make sure that they have things like a potable water and the ability to feed themselves and lots of ammunition so they can go ahead and kill and break things up and get the job over and go home. Which is very rational in the context of what war is all about, is it not? But he thinks that Rumsfeld and the people around Rumsfeld are flaming ass. Okay, I can't say it. And he says it in print. He says, quote me on that. I'll post it tonight. Oh, my God. Our webmaster has been holding on for about a week. Hey, Mark, our upstate New York bureau chief and also webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. How are you?
I'm just fine, sir. How are you?
Oh, there's that voice again.
I'm just fine, sir. How are you?
Yeah, been gargling razor blades again, have you,
there
Mark?
There you go. Hackworth's an interesting case because there are times when you love him and there are times when you hate him.
Oh, yeah. He writes for, what is it, WorldNetDaily.com.
Right.
He writes for a real right-wing site.
Yep.
My feeling about Hackworth is very simple. If we are still operating as we are out of our reptilian brains, if we still believe in killing and war, which is nothing more than mass killing, legalized mass killing and death and destruction, then we need people like David Hackworth, and we do not need people like Donald Rumsfeld. That's the bottom line. That's all.
Absolutely, and at least I think he's genuine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's not posturing.
He is a military man, and that's the alpha and omega of that story.
You ever hear him talk?
Oh yeah.
It's funny because he sounds like a complete deadhead.
Oh, I know. He does not have a voice. As a matter of fact, his appearance doesn't match his writing. When I first I met Hackworth, I've had him on the air years ago. I met him here in Atlanta, and his writings, his reputation. It was entirely different from what I met, the man
right.
I met. But I'll guarantee you one thing. When he shakes your hand, you know your hand's been shaken.
I'm sure. So the reason I called, and I'm sure you already know about this, but listeners may or may not, C-SPAN was broadcasting the Democratic debate tonight.
Somebody emailed me and said it was an act of God that knocked it off the air.
Well, look, you know me. I'm the last person in the world to be conspiracy-minded, not.
Right.
The entire thing went absolutely fine. Kucinich was great, and we could talk about that for an hour. But it came to the closing remarks, and he gets 20 seconds in. Oops, there's a lightning storm in Washington, so we're cutting away. I was screaming at my real player here.
Now, somebody sent me an email about this, and C-SPAN has put out a statement that said they are going to replay his entire closing statement, which will, let's see if they do it.
Yep.
Let's see if they do it.
Yeah, when
but isn't it interesting?
When all the people who tuned in to watch the debate are now not tuned in.
Well, of course.
Yep.
Of course. Isn't it interesting how these little things keep happening regarding Dennis Kucinich?
Yep.
Little events, little occurrences, little failures to mention his name, that he is one of the nine contenders.
Well, you remember that time I called you when they were doing a broadcast of the first debate. They were doing a newscast of it, and they showed everybody but him on
right.
And they made a point of cutting, even if they had to cut his face in half,
right.
You know, just to not get him on screen.
It's just unbelievable. Not to take anything away from Howard Dean, but dear God, he was on the cover of all three weekly news magazines this week.
Yep. Well, you have to wonder if that's if you look back at all the president's men, there's that line about, you know, look who they wanted to run against. That's who they're running against.
Well,
so just,
yeah.
It makes me wonder.
Yeah, you have to wonder. You have to wonder about anything that happens in this country now regarding politics or media. It's all suspect. It's all carries with it potential of utter and absolute corruption. Oh, and business. Business, politics, and media.
In closing, the one thing I really appreciated about Kucinich tonight was that he made it a point of, when they would ask him about a policy decision, you know, what would he do in a particular case, not only would he state what he was going to do, but he would turn to the other candidates and say, you know, I challenge you to pledge it. You're going to do that now, which was great because he was calling people on NAFTA and the WTO. It was wonderful. It was really good.
Right. Well, that's good. I hope C-SPAN does replay it. We usually try to pick up a little bit of C-SPAN at 2 o'clock in the morning when we're laying in bed trying to unwind from this gig.
From this madness.
From this madness.
By the way, for the youngsters out there who aren't familiar with the self-immolation thing, the Rage Against the Machine album with the person on fire on the cover, that's what that is.
That's right.
And with that, I will leave you to the rest of your evening.
Thanks, Mark.
All right.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Go see MikeMalloy.com where Mark Marshall has put an awful lot of effort. When you compare the new website to what we had for a couple of years, remember that, you older truth seekers like Anna and the rest of you folks? You remember that it's not just business and politics and media that one should be highly skeptical of in the age of Bush. It's also religion. I left religion off. What does that leave? Entertainment? Sports? Don't even go there. Don't even go there. Tom is calling from Mount Airy, Maryland. Hey, Tom, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir.
Oh, man, I've been on hold for about like an hour.
I know. I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I was just going to – I actually called in what your webmaster was talking about, the Kucinich thing.
Oh, were you watching it too?
I was watching it. I am in the Washington area, and actually, there is a incredibly huge thunderstorm now. My phone, when I was on hold, the phone was going crazy. I thought I was going to get disconnected.
Well, are you on a cordless?
No.
Oh, you're on a.
I'm on a just a phone plugged in the wall, you know.
But it is.
But it's pretty bad.
Well, you might die as a result of this phone call. You understand that?
Oh yeah, definitely. But anything to talk to you, Mike.
Okay, all right. You know, as long as you know the risk, pal.
Oh yeah. I don't think anyone's going to sue you for that. But
well, no, I was thinking about you. It's not about me.
Oh.
You know, it's about you. If you're on a phone that's connected, now if you're on a cordless phone, you're okay.
Oh.
But if you're on a phone that has the wire going from the little part that you talk into the phone thing, and then it goes into the wall, and you're talking during a lightning storm, your ass is in real risk here, Tom. I mean, that's all. But that's okay. I want to hear what you got to say. So if there's an explosion and a crackle, it'll be like the monks in Saigon in 1963. But let's have at it. Go ahead.
All right. Well,
because I really like it when you call in.
Well, I managed to pick it up around 8 o'clock, and you know, the whole thing was great. It was much better than that one on what was it, ABC that aired at 1 a.m.
Oh yeah.
I don't think I even saw that one. I don't know how.
Yeah.
Just about almost all the good candidates got extremely well responses. Dean Kucinich. And I think Al Sharpton got the most applause, actually.
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be pretty funny, Al Sharpton, president.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw the Kucinich when it broke up. It did look like a genuine satellite breakup.
Well, now was Kucinich the last one to speak,
he was the last one to speak.
Everybody else got their closing statement.
In 20 seconds.
Even old crazy Al Sharpton.
Huh? Yeah, even Crazy Al.
Even Crazy Al? Okay.
Oh,
even
yeah.
Even Lieberman?
Lieberman got booze.
Uncle Joe got booze?
Yeah,
oh, good.
Booze.
I'm glad. That's good. That's grand.
Good.
That's great. Yeah,
that's
good
excellent.
For him.
He's like,
yeah.
Oh, well, Well, you guys supported me last time. Boo!
Yeah, you are so not going to be the candidate, Mr. Lieberman. So the only one who still was making the speech was the closing comments was Kucinich and Zhang.
And they cut off. We have technical difficulties.
Yeah, technical difficulty this, you freaks. Yeah. Yeah.
While I was on hold, they did replay his closing remarks after after they did the public's response to the debate.
Yeah, of course everybody has switched off.
Oh,
C-SPAN now. Nobody saw it. Yeah, well, that's typical.
Yeah.
All right, well, Tom, thanks for holding on all the time you did. I'm sorry. Next time you call in, I will not be so tardy in coming to your phone call.
Oh, that's okay.
All right,
okay,
sir.
Mike.
And get off the phone because you're going to get lightning struck and then you'll be dead. Okay.
Mike Malloy cares.
All right, Tom, take care. That's the truth. That's the truth. 800-TALK, yes. Scott is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Mike. I have a quick one. This is the foreword to Noam Chomsky's book, For Reasons of State, which is a recent compilation of writings he did about 30 years ago.
Okay.
And this is the recent foreword by Arundhati Roy.
Who's just absolutely a great writer. Oh, my God. Everything that she writes is just incredible.
Good Lord, yes.
Yeah.
The whole thing, the book and the foreword, I'd highly recommend. But I want to read just very briefly a quote from her foreword having to do with this napalm thing.
Let it rip.
Okay. She says, here's a quick intro. Here's an American pilot talking about the joys of napalm. Of course, that's tongue-in-cheek. Quote, we sure are pleased with those backroom boys at Dow. The original product wasn't so hot. If the gooks were quick, they could scrape it off. So the boys started adding polystyrene. Now it sticks like, well, I don't know if I can say it on the radio.
Probably not.
S-H-I-T.
Yeah, okay.
To a blanket. But then if the gooks jumped underwater, it stopped burning. Now it's funny that I can say gooks.
Yeah, isn't it funny?
Anyway, yeah, there you go.
I know.
So they started adding Willy Peter, which is white phosphorus, so as to make it burn better. It'll even burn underwater now.
Mm-hmm.
And just one drop is enough. It'll keep on burning right down to the bone. So they die anyway from phosphorus poisoning. And that's the end of the quote.
Yeah.
And I am old enough. I'm 48 years old. I'm old enough to remember that monk, the one that is on that album cover.
Right.
Self-immolating.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things that turned my life around. And one other quick thing, my father is still alive. He's one of the first troops, army troops, who went to Hiroshima after the bombing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was afraid to get off the train. Some of his fellow troops, he said, were jumping off and grabbing souvenirs, but he'd read a little bit and realized that there was danger there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the things that has stuck with him throughout his life to date.
I bet it has. It must have been something. What's the word
it
I'm looking
for? It gave him pause.
It must have been awesome.
Awe-inspiring, yes.
To step off a train in Hiroshima after the nuclear bombing.
And it blew his mind.
I'll bet it did. Scott, thanks for checking in, pal.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Appreciate your call. One more thing from this article in the San Diego newspaper about the use of napalm in Iraq after the psychopathic Rumsfeld declaring his gang of killers declaring that it wasn't being used. Retiring Marine Lieutenant General Bernard Traynor, or retired now, a prominent defense analyst. Isn't it amazing how they do that? He said, he's in this article, quote in this article, he said, I used it routinely in Vietnam. I have no moral compunction against using it. It's just another weapon. And the distinctive fireball and smell have a psychological impact on troops, according to experts regarding this weapon. One expert said, the generals love napalm. It has a big psychological effect. I can't add anything to that, can I? Huh? So we were roasting the Iraqis. Now you might say, well, Mike, they were the enemy. Were they? Were they the enemy? What was the Iraqi military? It might have been an enemy of the Iraqi people, but were they an enemy of the American people? Were they an enemy of the British people? Or were they just targets for Tony Blair and George Bush and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld? They are Arab-speaking, dark-skinned, big noses, kinky hair. To hell with them, right? Let's kill them because they happen to have their hovels and their nasty-ass little museums sitting on top of the second-largest known oil reserves on the planet, so they must die. And if we have to roast them alive, too bad. Too bad. This is sick. It's really sick. Stick around. More sickness coming up right after this break.
But not for voting. You don't believe in war. But what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me. You understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
really?
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you.
Texas, I've read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Junior in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling that 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You'll be seeing a lot of changes around here.
The new weekend programming lineup is more entertaining than ever. Kick it off Saturday mornings with Doug Steffens' Talk Radio Countdown, followed by Bobby Likas Car Clinic. Then Saturdays are brightened with the informative antics of Animal Talk, followed by the home improvement experts on Home Improvement USA. If you've been wondering about that old so-called junk, then you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent, followed by Talking Pets with John Patch. Learn your job rights on Sunday mornings with the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. And the latest in the world of technology on Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. Rambling with Ramsey will fill you into the hot spots to travel, followed by the second installment of the funniest live animal talk show, Animal Talk.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
For more information on these shows or other shows on IE America Radio Network, call 1-800-397-8255. But for now, listen to us live on IEAmericaRadio.com.
The man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. After the news break at the top of the hour, coming back, we're going to play this Rumsfeld stuff for you. If you want to hear an insane man who has more power than any human being in the history of the human species, which in and of itself should scare the bejesus out of you, stick around. He made some statements at his press briefing today that are just, I don't know. No wonder David Hackworth calls him and asks, well, I can't say it. Hey, Wayne, where you been? Wayne's checking in from Ackworth, Georgia. What's up, Wayne?
Hey, Mike, how you been?
I'm doing all right. Could be better, but that's true with all of us, right?
Well, absolutely. You know, I'm out here living in the Bush economy, you know, lost my house. You know, lost everything I own, pretty much. I've got my laptop back.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm a little closer to getting back on the net.
Yeah.
Well, you know, hey, stuff happens, you know. But, you know, there's something that
well,
I
well, 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 where are you living now?
You know, renting a room by the week, bro. You know, I'm burning $800 a week in a freaking motel.
What are you driving?
Nothing.
Well, Jesus, Wayne, well, what's the plan? I know this. I know this is not what you called in about, but what's the plan? Wayne is our famous house painter. What's the plan?
Well, the plan is to persevere. The plan is to work, 90 and 100 hours a week in a 7-day week.
Oh,
you know, and get your money together, and you know, fight your way back to the top. I mean, I've done it before. It's no big deal, Mike. You've known me for a long time.
Well,
you know, I go down, but I come back up.
Well, yeah, I mean, that happens to a lot of us. It certainly, sure as hell, has happened to me. But, Wayne, we all get to a certain age where the struggle gets just a little bit harder. I'm just a little bit concerned. You're going to be all right, though, right?
Well, yeah, I am. And absolutely, you know, to be honest with you, you know, since you brought that up, to be quite honest, that's why I'm calling you.
You want a job?
Well, no, the struggle is this. You know, I'm out there and I speak the truth.
Yeah,
I've been through two physical altercations. I've lost business, and I've had people fire me
over Bush
because they know who I am. I'm a regular fixture here in Atlanta on talk radio.
Right, right.
And as a matter of fact, you know me. I've got a voice you can't mistake.
No, you sound like you belong on the old Dragnet series on television back in the 60s. Hey, Wayne, let me put you on hold. Got a break. We'll come back.
You too. I love listening on hold, bro. I appreciate it.
All right, we'll come right back to you. We're going to talk with Wayne here when we come back, and we're also going to let you listen to the psychopath Donald Rumsfeld. Stick around. We got another hour of fun and frivolity. I'm Mike Malloy.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Dude,
and
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
hey, Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy. On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Al-Qaeda operatives could be in Israel recruiting Palestinians to carry out attacks on Jews. That accusation comes from Israeli officials in a report delivered to the UN Security Council today. The report claims Osama bin Laden's operatives are carrying foreign passports and have made attempts to enter Israel several times since 2001. But the report says Israelis have stopped their attempts and have since stepped up security along the borders. The UN report also accuses the terrorist organization of handing out propaganda in Palestinian areas, including leaflets designed to incite jihad or a holy war. Israeli officials also claim to have captured and tried Palestinians who were recruited by Al-Qaeda abroad. President Bush continues to monitor the situation in Liberia and could send in peacekeeping troops at any time. That's the word from the Pentagon. Liberia has been torn apart by more than a dozen years of civil war. President Bush doesn't want to send troops into Liberia until embattled President Charles Taylor exits. Taylor has said he will leave, but he continues to linger in Liberia. Meanwhile, General Richard Myers, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, denied that the U.S. military is spread too thin. During a Pentagon news briefing, Myers said the military has sufficient force to do what is required in the world today. The Army has agreed to delay for 2 days the burning of Cold War-era chemical weapons possessed by the U.S. That's according to a spokesman for Chemical Weapons Working Group and Environmental Group. The Army was supposed to start incinerating rockets armed with sarin, a deadly nerve agent, today at its chemical weapons disposal facility in Anniston, Alabama. The move would be to comply with an international treaty. However, some residents of Anniston are fearful of what might happen and prompted environmentalists to ask a federal judge for an injunction against the burn. A military attorney reportedly told a U.S. district judge today that the Army would wait to give the court some time to consider the issue.
If you're losing your hair, then I have great news for you. Now you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the world's most advanced hair regrowth system that will reverse baldness, fill in embarrassing bald spots, and regrow up to twice as much new hair, guaranteed. The secret of Hair Advantage lies in a recent medical discovery that showed 95% of all hair loss was due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage stops DHT from attacking your hair follicle as it starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. Hair Advantage contains a patented active ingredient that was approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half experiencing dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on virtually everyone. Call toll-free 1-800-213-4495. That's 1-800-213-4495. 1-800-213-4495.
Japan appears ready to accept tougher new mad cow safety standards on the U.S. exports of beef. Tokyo officials had issued a September 1st deadline for packing plants to certify their meat as all-American. The demand was made after a single case of mad cow disease was discovered in Canada back in May. That led Japan to insist U.S. beef be certified as free of Canadian product. A Japanese technical team is scheduled to visit meatpacking plants in Minneapolis this week. Japan is the largest foreign buyer of American beef. As for Canada, an unidentified USDA official says it could be some time before Washington eases the ban on imports of Canadian beef into the U.S.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The first openly gay bishop-elect of the Episcopalian Church has been cleared of sexual misconduct charges. Church leaders dismissed allegations against New Hampshire Reverend Gene Robinson. Massachusetts Bishop Gordon Scruton led the investigation into accusations by Vermont parishioner David Lewis. Lewis claimed Robinson touched him inappropriately, but Scruton says the touching didn't appear to be sexual in nature. He added that Lewis did not want to press charges. As for Robinson's role in the internet site with links to pornography, the bishop-elect's involvement with the group ended 4 years before the website was created. The announcement clears the way for a vote by the House of Bishops that is likely to approve his installation. A jump in bond yield sent stocks down. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 150 points and finished at 90.36. The S&P 500 lost 17 points to 9.65. The NASDAQ dipped 41 points to finish at 16.74. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Sex and the Single Driver. No, it's not the latest XXX film or a video on golf swings. And you'll never guess its producer-director. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Blockit Fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Blockit Fabric by Kimberly Clark.
Sex and the Single Driver is a favorite feature of insurance companies. And if you're a middle-aged, married female, you're the star of this show. Yes, statistics show younger drivers are involved in more fatalities than mature adults. And singles have less safe driving records than those in wedding bliss. And here's the clincher, gentlemen. Males are deadlier drivers than females. In fact, a National Safety Council survey found fatal accident rates were 63% higher for men. So ladies, start your engines and enjoy the spotlight. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Yeah, you got that right. 7 past the hour. All right, we're going to have some real insane gibbering from Donald Rumsfeld coming up here in a moment. But right now we're talking with Wayne from Acworth, Georgia, who has called in. All right, now, not only have you had some terrible financial luck here recently, Wayne, but also you've almost come to blows over Bush.
Yeah, I went through having a house on the lake and losing everything. 2 years of cancer battle. Lost my wife. I'm reduced down to I'm in a motel room now, pretty much by the week. Don't get me wrong. Anybody out there listening, you know, I'm not done, okay? I might be down, but I'm not done.
Oh, no,
okay?
No. People in Atlanta, who know you from the radio know that, a lot of people listening around the country now don't know you from Adam's House Cat, and they're listening
right.
to this and going, oh, Jesus, this poor guy. And some of that's true, but we also know, or I should tell them, that you're a fighter, and you've made... you've made bigger comebacks than Lazarus, right?
You know me a long time, Mike. I'll tell you what, brother. I've gone down and come back more than once. But, you know, what I find disturbing is the idea that when I bring up about the Bush administration, the incompetence and the facts, which are like, the biggest bankruptcy rate in 30 years, the biggest expansion of the federal government in 40 years, the biggest spending president of all time, almost eclipsing Reagan.
The biggest deficit in the history of the Republic. Yeah, just
there you go.
Right.
And when I bring that up to Republicans, and I do this quite freely, by the way, and that's what I want to tell your listeners. Don't be shy, okay? Don't be shy, okay? Look. I didn't get my butt whooped. As a matter of fact, I put the boy on the floor twice.
I'll bet you did.
Yes, I did. You know, and I will not shrink from the truth. Now, they can spin it, they can twist it, they can do whatever they want to do.
Right.
But look, if you give up speaking the truth, then you know what? You're a scumbag.
Yeah, just roll
straight
over.
Straight up.
Roll over and die.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, so you're not going to go there. But what I wanted to ask you about was, well, not only why I called you, but, you know, I'm one of the few callers that relishes being on hold. By the way, I think I'm going to be back on the net this week.
Good.
I've got my laptop back.
Good
and,
for you.
I think I'm going to set that back up.
Well, I hope.
Yeah, because, you know, you're like manna from heaven. You can't get this across the airwaves where I'm at. You know, and for anybody that can get this across the airwaves, consider yourself blessed. And as a matter of fact, call your station managers wherever you're getting it. And tell them you sure appreciate it because we can't get it down here. You know, this is all Bortz and God knows all these right-wing nuts.
Yeah.
Okay. But what I was going to ask you about was Poindexter. Did Poindexter set up his little gambling casino? Is that what that was about? I mean, what the hell was that all about?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was, you know, I've said on this program before, this administration is all about death and destruction.
They were betting on death.
Yeah, these people are killers. They are eaters of human flesh. They are vampires. They all deserve to go back into their coffins, put the stakes back into their hearts, or take the stakes out or something. But you understand that Poindexter announced then that he is resigning.
Big deal. He'll do the same thing Gingrich did. He'll go on the damn board of some think tank that's stuck right up next to the government. You know, like Newt Gingrich and the rest of them. I don't know. What is that, the Heritage Foundation?
Whatever.
He'll sit in there and he'll get paid, you know, and he'll sit there and feed that crap, you know, and they'll stick this little speech in front of Bush and say, read it,
uh-huh.
like he did with the State of the Union address. Don't worry about it, dude. We've done checked it out.
Right,
you know, you don't have to understand what the hell you're reading. Just read it.
Yeah, that was a death casino. But that's what Poindexter's all about. You remember, Wayne, right. back in the 80s, the death lottery was on little brown people in Central America.
And let me, and by the way, does anybody out there wonder why you've never heard one word out of Noriega? You've never seen a book written by him? We've got him locked down because he was trading cocaine for arms.
Well,
middleman.
Yeah, he was part of the Bush, Papa Bush's crime family, and he decided to go public, and they decided to invade his country, kill about 4,000 Panamanians just to warn everybody else in Central America.
Mike,
snatch Noriega and put him in a jail in Miami, which is where he is.
Mike, I just want you to know, there are some of us out here, even though I'm a registered independent, I'm telling you right now, which, yes, I will vote on both sides, but I'm telling you something right now. There are some of us out here that do have values. There are some of us out here that do have conviction. And there are some of us out here that, you know what?
What?
You don't want to talk politics? You shouldn't live in America. If you can't handle free speech and you can't handle the brawl that goes with it, the hell with you.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, the guy came at me twice. I put him in the floor twice.
Good for you.
I've lost jobs over this. These people know me here in Atlanta.
I know.
You know, I'm living in the cradle of Newt Gingrich and Bob Barr and these freaking zealots, okay?
I know.
But I still speak my mind. And by God, let me tell you something. you know, the hell with your gun, okay? The hell with your gun and your gun ownership.
Right.
I'll tell you something. When you take away my free speech, then we're going to have a frickin' war. I'm going to come after you with everything I got.
I hear that, Wayne. I hear that.
By the way, a note to your call screener.
Yeah?
Stick me on hold so I can just hear one or two more callers.
Okay. Will do. Wayne, thanks for checking in. Let us know. Let us know how things go. I know you'll make
it. I'm coming back. Bro, you know me, Mike.
You'll make the greatest comeback since Lazarus. Don't worry about
it. Right.
All right, sir. Thanks, Wayne. I like Wayne. Wayne kicks ass and takes names. Literally. You want producer Rumsfeld? You want to do it now, Madam Producer? All right. This is Rumsfeld today at the Department of Defense briefing. This is pretty bizarre. Now, we've got it in cascading order. He starts out sounding a little bit rational, and it gets worse as we get into this. Okay? A reporter wants to know about Liberia and the purpose of our mission there. The reporter says, Mr. Secretary, West African troops, peacekeeping troops, are now in Liberia, and U.S. forces are afloat off the capital, Monrovia, waiting for a decision by President Bush on whether they will be sent in. So could U.S. forces be sent in harm's way, or would they be strictly, if they are, in a support role, such as communications?
Well, what the president has said thus far, he said on his trip to Africa, and that is the policy of the United States, that he is concerned about humanitarian difficulties that exist in the country, indeed exist in much of sub-Saharan Africa, to be frank. He's concerned about the situation in Liberia from a humanitarian standpoint. Now, what the president may or may not decide to do is up to the president, and he's watching the situation very closely. We had a meeting this morning on secure video where we discussed the Liberia situation, but we don't have any announcements to make at the moment.
Okay, well, Rumsfeld, see, my follow-up question would be, Mr. Rumsfeld, could you tell us this? First of all, what are the odds that Bush knows where Liberia is, A, B, he's watching the situation very closely? George Bush? What, is there a video game called Liberia that he plays now? Oh, Jesus. Okay, here he is. Once more. Crazy old Rummy. Rambling on in his typically incoherent way about Saddam. Eh? The reporter says, Mr. Secretary, the search for Saddam, which we understand is going to great lengths, a lot of different missions outstanding. He's moving around a lot. Can you share any details on that?
Well, I can. It's interesting. I mean, someone says, are you getting closer? And some people say yes, and some people say no. And I say, I don't know, because you don't know if you're closer until you get him. And I find the whole thing kind of amusing. I notice you've got to appreciate the folks that are trying to find him are enthusiastic, and they think they're getting closer. And I'm for that. I like that enthusiasm. But if you ask me, are we getting closer, I say, I'll let you know when we catch him. Until you have him, you don't have him. And we need to find him. And we're going to find him.
This son of a bitch, this filthy son, and excuse me, if you don't like my language, like I said, I don't cuss that much, this rat bastard, he finds it kind of amusing. Now you understand why Colonel David Hackworth calls him a flaming ass. Well, you know, you'll read the article. He finds it a kind of amusing that since George Bush, with his scrotum hiked up around his Adam's apple, landed on the USS Abraham Lincoln. How many Americans have died since then? 50? 75? 100? And Rumsfeld finds the whole thing kind of amusing. Okay, calm down, Mike, because, you know, you're only on another 45 minutes tonight, and you got to go home and go to sleep. I cannot tell you when I have had such loathing for a group of pigs that run this country, Cheney and Rumsfeld especially. Those two especially. Bush is irrelevant. Cheney and Rumsfeld. Oh, my God. Okay, deep breath. Okay. Trying to explain the lie that al-Qaeda operated in Iraq, Rumsfeld here kind of answers the question. The question is this. Mr. Secretary, I'm curious for your assessment on al-Qaeda at this point. Also, with respect to your view now on whether you think the evidence is still pretty solid that there was any al-Qaeda in Iraq to begin with. Would you like to see Iran give those people up?
With respect to Iraq, the Central Intelligence Agency has announced that there had been al-Qaeda in Iraq, and I don't have anything to add to that, what the Central Intelligence Agency has said. With respect to Iran, it is correct that there have been and are today the senior al-Qaeda in Iran.
In prison.
And to the extent that they're able to operate and function from there, that's harmful.
They're in prison.
To the extent that they're, in one way or another, not being allowed to function and operate out of there, that's better.
You jackass, they're in prison, and you know they're in prison. And your people are meeting with the Iranians to work out a handoff of these prisoners. You thug, you punk. I'll tell you what. We ought to get Wayne and I ought to invite Rumsfeld out for a beer. Quick break. We'll be right back.
I looked over Jordan, but what did I see? Saw a U.S. Marine. I looked at you. I swam in your pools, lay under your palm trees. I looked in the eyes of the Indian who lay on the letter of I saw the frontline boys popping their pills. Sick of the mess they find on their desert state. And the bravery of being out of rank. Yeah, the question is vexed. Oh man, what the hell are you gonna kill next? All the time, who you gonna kill next?
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Show. Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Zebra.
I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Okay, Rum Show, we have a couple more here, and then back to your phone calls. We're going to try to squeeze these in here quickly. Now Rummy starts to get really incoherent on Scuds and other alleged weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And in this one, he gets amused again. You know, people are dying, and Rumsfeld is amused. The reporter says, Mr. Secretary, you've got a lot of special forces operating in western Iraq. Have you found any sort of indication of Scud missiles or any other WMD? That's obviously one of the reasons why you had them in there in the first place.
I don't happen to know of any Scud missiles that have been found. I was amused to see the photographs of the Russian jet aircraft that were buried underground. And we hadn't known that. We'd heard a great many things had been buried. But we had not known where they were, and no one knew they were there. Well, how can you know? You can't know. So until you find somebody who tells you where to look, or until nature clears some sand away and exposes something over time, we're simply not going to know. But as we all know, the absence of evidence is not evidence of absence.
Don't you just want? Oh, I guess I can't say what I'm feeling right now, huh? Or the. The Justice Department operatives or DOD operatives that to monitor this program would probably swoop down and do bad things to me. On the overextension of our troops, a reporter says, Mr. Secretary, it's been said often here, including again today, that resources exist to meet all the multiple missions and all the responsibilities around the world. But General Shoemaker said that when he was on Capitol Hill that he thinks the Army needs to be bigger. He said, quote, I think we need more people. It's that simple, end quote. Is he right? Is he wrong? What's your reaction?
When we look at this problem, and it's a very fair question to ask, and it's an important issue to address, and we're addressing it. We're analyzing precisely what we believe the situation to be so that we can develop conviction.
What?
And to the extent we need more or less end strength, obviously, we would ask the Congress for it.
Whack, whack.
We don't have a bias one way or another on it. The war plans, the contingency plans that we have for various kinds of activities are being reanalyzed to take a look and see are they logical given the increased lethality of our capabilities, which was demonstrated in Afghanistan and demonstrated in Iraq. And to the extent that work is being done, we are finding that, in fact, mass is interesting, but not necessarily determinative.
Now, I defy you. I don't care if you have a PhD in logic, English, literature, Oriental studies, German history. He said, and to the extent that work is being done, we are finding that, in fact, mass is interesting, but not necessarily determinative. And the one right above it, the war plans, the contingency plans that we have for various kinds of activities, you bastard, are being reanalyzed to take a look and see, are they logical, given the increased lethality of our, quote, capabilities, which was demonstrated in Afghanistan and demonstrated in Iraq. What is he saying? I'll tell you what he's saying. I am a gibbering mass killer. I will eat your children. I will devour you. I will rip your head off and urinate in your neck. I am Donald Rumsfeld. I am insane, and I will kill anything and everything I can.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Powell, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
3,000 San Francisco janitors remain on the job today despite a threatened strike. Members of Service Employees International Union Local 1877 saw their old contract expire last Thursday and nearly let the first of 250 downtown San Francisco buildings go unclean today. But a last-minute intervention by Mayor Willie Brown, who's offered to serve as a mediator today, delayed any job actions. The key sticking point is health care costs. Under management's latest proposal, employers would continue to pay 100% of janitors' health care premiums, but would increase the cost of doctor's office copayments. The union says that would open the floodgate to future rollbacks in employee health care.
Sales and service employees with Quest Communications have ratified a new 2-year contract. The 27,000 workers covered under the agreement in 14 states, represented by the Communications Workers of America and International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, will have their wages frozen for 2 years, but there is the possibility for performance bonuses. Health insurance premiums will also remain unchanged, but co-payments for doctor's visits and prescriptions will rise. However, the contract does contain language that prohibits the company from whittling away at most union jobs.
Employees of the world's largest privately owned copper mine have averted a strike, at least for now. Unsatisfied with their employer's offer on wages, 95% of workers at Chile's Escondida mine authorized a walkout last Wednesday, but a weekend strike deadline was rolled back until tomorrow after mine managers made unspecified improvements at the bargaining table. A strike would send shockwaves through global copper markets, as the Escondida mine produces nearly 5% of all the world's copper.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah. You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature!
and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Doing talk radio right from the left, it's Mike Malloy.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those nads. Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the feel that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay. Democracy is coming to the USA.
Yeah. I don't think so, Leonard. I think we had a good shot at it, but I'm sorry, buddy. All right, I got an email here. I just want to share it with you. I'm not going to say the name of the person who wrote it. That's just my decision. But it's back to the Hiroshima thing. You know, tomorrow, August 6, 1945. Hiroshima, or Hiroshima, nuked. 3 days later, August 9, 1945, Nagasaki nuked. And again, for younger people, I hate to make an age distinction. Hell, I've read stuff that was written in the 12th century, but you know what I'm saying. There's so much to read. Well, okay, not the 12th century. Eighteenth. But there's so much stuff out there. A lot of people are not aware. The John Hershey book, Hiroshima. It's you can get it probably at a used bookstore for $2, right? Anyway, my correspondent writes, Mike, my father and most of my uncles were of an age that they served in World War II. One of my uncles was the sweetest, most cheerful young man with two young sons who adored him and a niece who cherishes her childhood memories of his handsome, smiling face. Like many, after Pearl Harbor, he enlisted. He served in the Pacific and was among the first troops to enter Hiroshima after the bomb. He came back a changed person, very changed and on a downward spiral. When he started talking to his wife about killing her, killing himself, killing their children, to spare them from the evils of this world, my aunt had no choice but to have him committed. They gave him shock treatments, after which he never recognized his wife and children again. He spent the next 50 years in a state mental hospital where he recently died. He had never spoken a word to his family about what happened during the war. What demons destroyed this sweet soul? Well, I'm having a hard time with words tonight, Kathy. That's the oddness, oddity, weirdness, strangeness of it all. One person can go to Hiroshima and write about it. Another person goes and loses his mind. David is calling from Skokie, Illinois. Our second call from Skokie tonight. Hey, David.
Yeah, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
Hey, listen, I have a number of things I wanted to talk to you about. Number one, you know, about Bush trying to get rid of terrorism. It appears to me he's the problem, not the solution.
I think you're right.
That I just wanted to get off my chest. Another thing, remember at the last week you played the end of his news conference?
And yeah.
At the very end, he said, boy, did you luck out. I'll tell you what I think he meant by that. What do you think he meant by that? I'll tell you my opinion after I get yours.
Now, I'm trying to remember the context of, boy, did you luck out.
Remember, that was the very end when he sort of, they asked him about the recall in California, and then he didn't know what to say. And then he said at the end, well, leave it up to the people of California. And then he said, boy, did you guys luck out.
Ah, now wait a second. You may, David, see once again I've done it. You may be confusing actual sound bites of George Bush in a press conference and a parody using his sound bites. It was put together by one of our engineers in Detroit.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the case.
Maybe.
Now he did say that. He did say, boy, have you lucked out. And I think what he was referring to when he said that, see, now I've got myself confused, was the fact that he gave this press conference. He was saying to the press, boy, did you luck out. You got a chance to ask me questions. One of our dudes up in Detroit put it in a different context. Now, I'm not sure which one you heard.
Okay. Anyway, and did I hear correctly that he was talking about Iran? He said we kind of like support totalitarianism and all that.
Now, that was the parody. That was the parody that John Lucas in our home office put together. Gosh, I thought I made it clear. Well, maybe I didn't.
Yeah, I thought that was actually verbatim from his mouth.
Well, it every single word was from his mouth, but what John did was a little bit of digital
manipulation.
Manipulation and came up with what we thought was a real cute parody. I think we played two of them. Do we still have them, Kathy? Huh? Do you have them handy? Okay, I'll tell you what. Just hold on a second, David, while Kathy cues him up. I'm going to put you on hold, and we're going to play him for you. Okay, here are the two that I think David is talking about.
Hutch, I wanted to ask you about Iran, one of your other countries in the Axis of Evil. One of the things we learned from that march to war is that when you start warning countries, they better pay attention. Are we now in the early stages of a march to war in Iran, or are they more like in the category of North Korea?
No, look, Hutch... The march to war is this campaign that's just going to march everywhere. I believe that the best way to deal with the Iranians at this point in time is to convince others to join us in a clear declaration that the development of a nuclear weapon is in their interests. People of Iran are interested, and we stand by their side. We stand on the side of those who are totalitarian in nature. And the other thing that's interesting about Iran is that they do have Al-Qaeda moving around plotting and planning. Now, that's positive.
See how easy it is. All right, now, before we go back to David, let's play the second one.
Ed, last question.
Good morning, Mr. President. Since California is on your mind, I'd like to ask you about the recall campaign. Since you're not only the leader of this country, but as someone who came into office under extraordinarily partisan circumstances, do you view this recall, which is funded almost entirely by one wealthy Republican who would like to be governor, as a legitimate Democratic exercise?
Ed, let me tell you how I view it. I got a lot of things in my mind, and I view it, it's kind of a fun up. I think that the most important opinion is not mine, but it's the people of the California. It's my really, really my only comment I got. Listen, thank you all very much for giving me a chance to come and answer some of your questions. Gosh, did you luck out. Thank you.
Now, okay, David.
Yeah.
Now, the clue is the music around it. We never put music around our sound bites. That was what John up in Detroit put together for us. Okay, that's what you heard, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Everything was out of his mouth, but John just manipulated the digital, the sound just a little bit so we'd have a little fun.
Because it wouldn't have surprised me.
No, that's the weird part about it. When you listen to that, that is so George Bush.
Exactly.
That is George Bush. I mean, he did say it. All our engineer did was move a couple of words and commas and semicolons around a little bit, and bingo. That's what you get.
And another thing, you know about us conquering land and stuff. Isn't it better that if we would conquer the hearts and minds of these people instead of their land? That seems to make the most sense.
Well,
which we don't know how to do.
Yeah, well, I don't think we have any business conquering somebody's hearts and minds. You know, people are going to live the way they're going to live. It's also very short and abrupt anyway. I mean, come on. How many tyrannical bastards operate from presidential palaces around this planet, this
too
poor,
many.
Tired, old planet? Sure, too many of them. So if the people of Iraq were suffering, and they were suffering, had we lifted the sanctions against the Iraqi people and a middle class and the plotters and the people who would who would take Saddam and put his head on a pole and display it in downtown Baghdad, the Iraqis who would do that, would have had a chance. Because revolution, I've said this before on this program, and I'm sure you know this, David, revolution never comes from the oppressed poor. Revolution always comes from the middle class. If you make sure there's no middle class, you guarantee there will be no revolution.
All right.
So what we did was guarantee that there would be no revolution in Iraq. And that's because we don't understand geopolitics, but we have no business going after anybody's hearts and minds. That's my opinion.
Oh, well. Well, I just thought instead of bombing them, that would be a better...
Well, if those are the only two choices, obviously I'll go with what you're saying. Sure, if those are the only two choices. But what do we have to offer? McDonald's?
Right.
PlayStations, high unemployment, no health insurance. I mean, what do we have to offer?
Can I say one more thing?
You can say three more things.
Oh, good. It seems, too, that the only people we attack are always poor people. And I think once there was a commercial for that new movie, Ali, when it came out, about Muhammad Ali, and then he was carrying on. He said, how come we go to, you know, we're always bombing poor people and not the rich, something to that effect.
Yeah, you know, Muhammad Ali also said, I'm quoting him, no Viet Cong ever called me nigger.
That's right.
That's right. All right. Well, thanks, David.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. I don't have very few. I have very few heroes because I understand that a hero ain't nothing but a sandwich. But Muhammad Ali happens to be one for a lot of reasons. John is calling from Philadelphia. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike. Let's see if I get this phone right here.
Watch out. It doesn't explode in your face.
Every time I mess with this speakerphone, it goes crazy on me. Are you hearing me right?
Yeah. If you're on a speakerphone, I may have to ask you to get off, but let's try it. Go ahead.
I pressed the button, I think. Does it sound all right?
Yeah, it sounds fine.
Cool. I was calling about Dennis Kucinich. I made a contribution and signed on as a volunteer, and it's depressing enough that there seems to be this media blackout on the guy, and then we get the active God tonight.
Yeah, wasn't that cool?
I was hoping maybe you might have some pull with him since you interviewed him. I made a suggestion, but I don't hear back from their group that maybe it would be a great idea, I think, if they would make his speeches available like in MP3 version.
Right.
Because I write to like about, I don't know how many people get it now. Somewhere probably between 1 and 9,000 people get my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I always throw in, some kind of one of those flash videos that, you know, I recommended people see this flash video on the
right.
Bush crime family's relationship to Nazi Germany and how they built their fortune and stuff. And similarly, whenever I see anything that is available on internet MP3 or some kind of an audio or video format, I recommend it. And I think that guy, if, you know, once you hear him, and if you're also fortunate enough to watch him in action, you're going to really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I agree, John. I will tell you this. It took us forever to get in touch with the right people in his campaign to get him on the program. And we only had him for a little over half an hour. I don't know what the deal is with any presidential candidate, and sometimes even candidates for lesser offices like Senate or House, but especially for president. We're in the stages of this campaign where I would think that any one of these candidates would go for ideas or time on a radio or television program where they're not being jerked around. I mean, if they're going to just be, punched at by some right-wing thug, I can understand saying no to that. But it seems that the weakest link, if you will, in some of these presidential campaigns are the press relations or the relations with the public, where somebody like you sends in an excellent idea. I think that's a wonderful idea, and you get no response. Now, I don't know what to tell you. We have no connections with the Kucinich campaign whatsoever. I mean, if Kathy picked up the phone tomorrow and called into that campaign headquarters, we would probably get the same thing you got. Well, we'll get back to you. You understand what I'm saying?
I've joined their the website.
Oh yeah,
I think it's very little from there.
So have I contributed money, but and I've had him on the air. But I will flat guarantee you, if we called his campaign now, this I'm not casting aspersions on Dennis Kucinich.
Oh no,
there every single campaign that I have ever been aware of has been the same way, with one exception, and that was a campaign that I really worked my ass on. Off on, and that was Jimmy Carter's campaign, because he was, you know, here in Atlanta, and he had what was called the Peanut Brigade, you know, being a peanut farmer, and they had a rule. Hodding Carter and some of the people who were running that campaign had a rule: any citizen, of course, this is back in '76, any citizen who asks a question, you get that question answered immediately. And if you can't answer it, you get your supervisor. If your supervisor can't answer it, you get somebody directly connected to the campaign or connected to Governor Carter and get that question answered. And I haven't seen that since.
Dennis could use it. I mean, especially with now, I'm kind of glad that Dean is getting early press in terms of getting on Time, Newsweek, and U.S. News.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's... On one hand, that's cool. On the other hand, I'm saying to myself, is this the Republican Party announcing that they have selected Dean to run against?
Yeah.
And God forbid that anybody should hear a populist like, not only a progressive, but a populist type of a progressive like Kucinich, who can speak to union people, who can speak to not necessarily the college crowd, but can speak to... anybody who's sure. made it through high school
were I a Dean supporter, which I'm not yet, I may wind up, I'm still a Kucinich supporter, but were I a Dean supporter, I would be a little bit nervous at this point that all of a sudden my man is on the cover of all three news magazines that truly represent corporate America.
Yep.
Especially U.S. News and World Report is the most the most right wing of the three, and then Time, and then Newsweek in descending order. But I would be a little bit questioning about why all three news magazines had my man on the cover the same week. It's a little bit creepy.
I think we share the same sense of foreboding.
Yeah, and like I say, I'm a Kucinich supporter now. If for some reason Kucinich gets knocked out, then I'm heading for Dean country. Hey, John, thank you.
Just 1 second. I got into that meetup thing.
Okay.
And there's going to be – I'm going to Philly. I live outside of Philly in Chester County, and I haven't seen anybody from my county in it. But to the best of my knowledge, the first meetup for Kucinich is going to be on –
Well, let me know what happens.
Thursday night.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Great talking to you, Mike.
Appreciate your call.
For the loser now will be later to win, for the times they are a-changing.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news. No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine, thanks for asking.
A little self-centered?
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided?
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a Hey, with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff. But what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show. And you're abusing it. And I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best of progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. Doing talk radio right from the left, it's Mike Malloy.
Right before the hour, boy, we're going to not get to all the calls tonight. I do apologize. Alan is calling from New Jersey. Alan, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
I'm getting by,
good.
Which is all we really get these days. I just wanted to call you and tell you that last time I spoke to you, I said I was involved in a political campaign out here for Assembly. Basically, it looks like I'm turning into, my position is muse.
Muse?
Muse. Sitting down and talking, with people and getting them going, which is like, hey, I can think of worse things to be.
Yeah, well, a muse is all about inspiration, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Recently, the County Democratic Party had a little get-together to start organizing for the fall. Normally, that is attended by three houseflies and two committee people.
Right.
Over 100 people showed up, and candidate I'm working for said that these are people who are mighty, mighty pissed off at everything, and not just on the local level.
Well, that's what it takes to get people motivated. People are not motivated when they're fat and happy and don't care. and everything's cool, and the bills are paid, and the kid is safely ensconced in college, and the spouse is driving the new vehicle, and the job looks good, and the portfolio is fat, and, you know, that people don't do anything. You got to be hurting. You got to be pissed off. You got to see the rape that's being committed on this country by the Bush crime family and the rest of the world in order to get energized. So I hope what you're seeing and what you're hearing and what a lot of people are seeing and hearing in these little caucuses, these little meetings, these little and not so little get-togethers is people saying, I've had enough of this.
And the contributions are rolling in, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So it looks like I would suspect that this story might just spread out across the country. Of course, there's places like down where you are, where it probably isn't as strong.
No. I live in the zipper of the buckle belt or Bible belt or buckle of the zipper belt. I don't know. What the hell? Hey, we're out of time, Alan.
All right. You play nice.
All right, sir. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. Sorry to cut you off. We're just flat out of time. I want to go home and have a drink. Program engineered in Detroit by Charlotte Jones. And a big get well soon to her mom. Thanks to Mark Marshall, our webmaster, MaximumInteractive.com, and also, as always, to Jim, our Arkansas Music Bureau Chief. Thanks, Jim. Show wouldn't be the same without you. Y'all take care. I'll see you tomorrow night. I hope. I really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them?
Well,
a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.